treasure of the divine love, and who was filled with the compassion and mercy. Where has such personality? Where are my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, this surveyor of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatt and Gopal Bhatt? And where is Krishna Das Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all these devotees, in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottam Das simply weeps. Jehanilo premadhana karuna pracho jehanilo premadhana karuna pracho jehanilo premadhana karuna pracho jehanilo premadhana karuna pracho heno prabho kotha gela Acharya Thakur Eno Pra Kotha Gela Acharya Thakur Eno Prabhu Kotha Gela Acharya Thakur Eno Kotha Gela Acharya Thakur Kaha Mora Swarup Rupa Kaha Sanatan Kaha Mora Swarup Rupa Kaha sanata Kaha mora swarup rupa Kaha sanata Kaha mora swarup rupa Kaha sanata Kaha dasa raghunatha patita pava Kaha dasa raghunatha patita pava Kaha dasa raghunatha patita pavan Kaha dasa raghunatha patita pavan Kaha mora bhatta yuga Kaha kavira Kaha mora bhatta yuga Kaha kavira Kaha mora bhatta yuga Kaha kavira Kaha mora Bhatta Yuga Kaha Kavera Ek Kale Kotha Kela Puranatara Ek
একালে কোথা কেলা গোরনতরা কোথা গেলা পাশনে কুটিব মাথা আনলে পাশিব পাশনে কুটিব মাথা আনলে পাশিব পাশানে কোটিব মাথা আনলে পাশিব পাশানে কোটিব মাথা আনলে পাশিব গৌরাঙ্গ গুণেরা নিধে কোথা গেলে পাব গৌরাঙ্গ গুণেরা নিধে গৌরাঙ্গ গুণেরা নিধে কোথা গেলে পাব গৌরাঙ্গ গুণেরা নেধে কোথা গেলে পাব সেসব সঙ্গীরা সঙ্গে যে কইল বিলাস সেসব সঙ্গীরা সঙ্গে যে কইল বিলাস সেসব সঙ্গীরা সঙ্গে যে কইল বেলা সেসব সঙ্গীরা সে সঙ্গ না পাইয়া কাঁধে নরোত্তম দা সঙ্গ পাইয়া কাঁধে নরোত্তম দা সে সঙ্গ না পাইয়া কাঁধে নরোত্তম দা সে সঙ্গ না পাইয়া কাঁধে নরোত্তম দা যেহানে লো প্রেম ধন করুণা প্রচোরে লো প্রেম ধন করুণা প্রচোর হেন প্রভু কোথা গেলা আচার্য থাকো হেন আচার্য থাকো হেন প্রভু কোথা গেলা আচার্য থাকো হেন প্রভু আচার্য ঠাকুর জয় আচার্য ঠাকুর আচার্য ঠাকুর বৈষ্ণব ঠাকুর জয় বৈষ্ণব ঠাকুর জয় বৈষ্ণব ঠাকুর বৈষ্ণব ঠাকুর বৈষ্ণব ঠাকুর জয় বৈষ্ণব প্রভুপাদ 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 জয় প্রভুপাদ 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 প্রভুপাদ
Thank you, Prabhu. So we would like to begin our verbal offerings. We are very fortunate that we have, in the morning session too, we have some Prabhupada's disciples with us. I would first of all like to request our grace Nartaki Mataji to kindly speak on Srila Prabhupada's glorification. And after that, I would request His Grace Tribhanganand Prabhu to be also.
Hare Krishna. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nivrishesha Shunyavadi Pastacha Tishatarini. I'm very happy to be amongst all these wonderful Vaishnavas as yourselves, and particularly on this day when we feel sad and feel the loss of Srila Prabhupada's absence. Of course, we also at all times perceive His presence, particularly in the faith that He has created in so many of us, and even in the generation after His departure, that attests to His personal presence even at the moment. But at the same time, on the day when He actually departed, we feel, sometimes we feel transported back to that time when we heard for the first time that Prabhupada disappeared, and we were so sad and we lost and did not know what to do. We just took shelter of the holy name and sat in the temple room. I was at that time in Los Angeles. And, oh, Maharaj is here. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, with your permission, please. So as I said, you know, we feel in the great, in the presence of so many Vaishnavas, we feel the presence of Srila Prabhupada so vividly. At the same time, on this day of His departure, we are sometimes feeling, remembering the day when we heard that Prabhupada had disappeared. Many of us, we knew that Prabhupada, I was in Los Angeles at that time, and we knew that Prabhupada was sick, but we did not know about the seriousness of His illness. At the present time there in Los Angeles, there was that mood of book distribution to be the most pleasing thing of that service that we could do for Srila Prabhupada. So even when we heard that that Srila Prabhupada was sick, and as I said, we did not know how sick he was, we were encouraged to go out to please Srila Prabhupada and pray that he will stay with us and be with us for a long time. So then, but when the news came that he departed, we were shattered. We did not know. We were. Mukunda Maharaj was also in Los Angeles, and we weren't aware that it was that he was so seriously ill and that he would part away. Otherwise, we would have all gone and left and to see him there in Vrindavan. But we took shelter of the holy name because in whenever there's a calamity or so, Prabhupada had taught us so many times in many, many situations, you know, a calamity or a difficult situation or problems in our lives, etc., to always take shelter of the holy name. So we were just sitting in the temple room taking shelter of the holy name. For days we were sitting, and then we were deciding, no, Prabhupada would not want us to just be seclusives and, you know, remain sad about the departure. We should go on to spread this movement even more vigorously so that others will get to know the greatness of Srila Prabhupada and why it is such a loss to us that he has left. But of course he is there, as he said, in his books, and we feel his vivid presence now. And the faith that he had in the holy name, in his Guru Maharaj, in the scriptures, in the Lord himself, and in the Dhams, and his faith is now transferred to us, and we have the privilege to participate in this movement. Once I was asking one of the Radharaman Goswamis why the disappearance is celebrated more, and we don't hear so much of the acharyas being celebrated at their appearance. So he was saying that at the disappearance, we are remembering his great services and their qualities, their Vaishnava qualities. We're hearing about their qualities and their accomplishments in the mission of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So naturally, at that day, the celebration is very festively celebrated. So of course in ISKCON we are celebrating Srila Prabhupada's appearance just as much as we celebrate the disappearance. So many of Srila Prabhupada's god brothers, even after the departure of Srila Prabhupada, would come to the Krishna Balaram Mandir and even in other places, and were glorifying Srila Prabhupada very much. Some had other instructions of their Guru Maharaj to write books or to be the head of the mud, like she, just like Srila Vakshak. Sridhar Maharaj, he was in charge of the Chaitanya Math in Mayapur. And Dr. Obiel Kapoor, he was asked specifically to write books by his Guru Maharaj. So they would have liked maybe to help also Srila Prabhupada, but, and many others also, but then they had also their services. They are very appreciative of Srila Prabhupada's accomplishments and could understand their greatness, and they were glorifying him in many ways. And like, for example, as I said, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he had a long-standing relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, who was senior to him, but also had a very loving relationship, and Srila Vaibhav Puri Maharaj, Keshav Maharaj, Srila Keshav Maharaj, and Nayananda Das Babaji. He was, I just remembered him, he was a resident of Champahati. He was born in Champahati, and he joined Srila Bhaktisiddhanta in the Bagh Bazar mart, and but he kept living in Champahati only, and they also had a small temple there, and later on he became the pujari of that temple, Gaur Gadara Mandir, and he took later on, after the disappearance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he took on Baba Vesh. He got that from one of his god brothers. But he also had a very loving relationship with Srila Prabhupada. He remembered that Srila Prabhupada used to come to that Bagh Bazar Mandir to see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and he himself would be also there at the same time, and they would have many nice Vaishnava exchanges. And he remarked particularly that Prabhupada was so humble. He was, for after meeting Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, for 11 years he did not take initiation. And some of the younger people who came later, they took initiation. But Srila Prabhupada would always pay his obeisances to these brahmacharis, because he was so humble and he felt himself more fallen like that. And, you know, this Nayananda, this brahmachari at that time, he felt always like uncomfortable, because he was so much senior in age, so much senior in having met the Guru Maharaj first, and senior in advancement, he felt. So, of course, that is also his humility, you know, that he recognizes that, you know. Just like they say, it takes someone, you know, it takes a pure devotee to recognize a pure devotee. So he was, this Nayananda Das Babaji was very old when he passed away. He passed away from there in Champahati, and he remembered that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta came there also every year for the parikram and for the Gorbanda Parikram. And the last year of the Parikram, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was present, so many devotees had gathered there, and it was an ocean of tents everywhere. And it's a very beautiful natural environment there. And he gave a lecture, and at the lecture, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had all the sannyasis were sitting, and brahmacharis were sitting in front of him, and the whole crowd behind them. And he himself was standing, Babaji was standing at the side, and he heard Srila Bhaktisiddhanta speaking about the great desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to have this movement spread in all countries of the world, in the Western countries also. So, and he also spoke about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prediction that his vision, he had the vision that Western people would come to Siddha Mayapur and would chant the holy name of the Lord loudly. And he also had that urgent desire, you know, and he understood that he also said that there would be someone in the future that will spread Krishna consciousness in the West. So then Srila Bhakti said, and actually that day in Champahati, one of the disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta came back from London, who was not successful in preaching Krishna consciousness there. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj was saying that he is ready to give his life energy in the form of funds to send anyone to preach Krishna consciousness in the West. He was willing to do that, you know. And then he said, and he turned his head away from the sannyasis to the left side, and there was this Nayananda Das Babaji who was standing there. He was not Babaji then, he was still Brahmachari. And he was he was thinking, he's not looking at me, is he? And he looked behind him, and there was Srila Prabhupada there. And then he was saying, but I predict that there will be someone, one of my disciples, that will go whenever the time is right. Whenever the time is right, he will go, however long it may take. He will go to the West, and he will spread Krishna consciousness and bring many Westerners back to the holy Dham here to chant the name, the holy name of Krishna, and will satisfy me and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much. So we can see that, and Srila Prabhupada was very humble. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj favored him many times. Even one time he came to Mayapur. He used to go sometimes to Bagh Bazar, and sometimes Srila Prabhupada would also go to Mayapur when he heard that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj was there. So he went once to Mayapur, Sri Chaitanya Mat. There's a balcony where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati would walk up and down while talking to his disciples. And one time Srila Prabhupada came there, and he came up the stairs, and from a distance he would pay his obeisances, and he was so happy to be in the presence of his Guru Maharaj. And immediately Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would notice him, and he would call him, come, come, I want to talk to you, come. And then when he came close, he took him in front of all the sannyasis and brahmacharis, he took him alone into his room and talked for quite a long time with him. And the devotees there felt when Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta came out again, Prabhupada was glowing, he was effulgent, he was so happy to have had the personal attention of his Guru Maharaj. And we all know, and he has said many times, that he is never forgetting his Guru Maharaj. He is always remembering the instruction he had given him to spread Krishna consciousness in the West. So, and because of his sincerity in wanting to please his Guru Maharaj, he overcame so many obstacles, and he tolerated so many situations. We know of it because we know how tolerant he was of us. So, and therefore he became successful. He was willing to do anything for his Guru Maharaj. So on this day, I just... I want to express my eternal indebtedness to Srila Prabhupada for having brought us to Krishna consciousness, and praying to him that he may help us to advance in Krishna consciousness on and on until we will be able to meet him again and we'll be able to serve him again. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Nartaki Mataji, for highlighting some of the intimate moments that Srila Prabhupada had with his God brothers and his spiritual master, and also on emphasizing the significance of the disappearance day, because by the disappearance day the complete glory of the personality is fully manifest, and therefore that appreciation is much higher. And we can understand how just few words fail to express the oceanic gratitude and appreciation that we have for our spiritual masters. Thank you very much. I would like to request Grace Tibhangananda Prabhu, whom I had the good fortune to meet in the UK, where he serves. Shruti Dharma Prabhu had arranged for for a program for me in Leicester, and I requested somebody has to drive me to Leicester from Bhaktivedanta Manor. And I went down thinking somebody will be coming. And then I sat down and I asked him. Then I found out that it was Tribhangananda Prabhu. Two things about Prabhuji which I was immediately able to appreciate was his amazing sense of humor and also deep, deep taste of Srila Prabhupada's books, especially the Krishna book. So thank you very much for your wonderful association there. People will be able to see.
Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Om Jnana Timrandasya Jananjana Salakaya, Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I didn't expect this opportunity to speak anything about His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who so extraordinarily has brought Krishna to the whole world in so many wonderful ways, and who we see here amongst all these extraordinary devotees who have taken this mission very seriously and taken it, as we see on a daily basis here, so deeply within their hearts to try to serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Much was said over the last so many days, and particularly Vaisheshika Prabhu, who has taken this mission to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books and serve Srila Prabhupada's mission in this way. He was pointing out the extraordinary need to very, very carefully read and study and try to deeply understand and imbibe what is there in Srila Prabhupada's books. Over the last few years, I can say that my appreciation of Srila Prabhupada's books has grown dramatically, because we had so many activities to do. So many services are there, so many distractions in life are there. But something very extraordinary for me happened, which I would like to try to share with you, and that is how Srila Prabhupada's books come to life in such an extraordinary way. There's a very lovely purport in just the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which Prabhupada explains some really wonderful secrets in just a few short lines. It's actually in the first chapter of the first canto, text 6, and Srila Prabhupada gives us a real clue, because just like we come here on these yatras and we hear many, many things. And I remember Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was asking Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, will I ever be able to remember all these things you've told me? And Prabhupada was puzzled. Remember? For Prabhupada, it wasn't a problem. But that deep desire is there that somehow we can imbibe what it is that we're hearing, how we can actually take it on board and assimilate it into our lives. So in this particular purport that I'm thinking of, Prabhupada gives the secret. Very, very simple thing. He says that Shravanam means hearing, and Kirtanam means explaining. He says, only by hearing and explaining can one perfectly assimilate this science. Now, this is a very, very deep statement, because it gives all of us the understanding about how we can really take Krishna consciousness on board, how we can really, at the same time as understanding what this Krishna consciousness movement is about, we can simultaneously fulfill the desire of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and of the spiritual master. What is that? Hearing and explaining. As we hear from others, we should develop that desire to share this transcendental knowledge with others. And as we actually do that, as we try to physically, actively share what we've learned and what we've understood with others, then it becomes something very wonderful. Many, many times, devotees struggle with the idea that I should go and preach, or I should go and explain to others, or give a class. But why do you think that these devotees who do take part in preaching, why do you think these devotees who do get excited about speaking about Krishna become so excited, become so enlivened? You don't have to look any further than your own beloved spiritual master to see how much he relishes being able to share about Krishna consciousness with others. It is because there is so much depth of benefit to be gained by giving Krishna to others, by sharing this transcendental knowledge. The last time that I personally saw Srila Prabhupada in his physical form was in Bombay, or Mumbai as you call it now. And Prabhupada had been very sick. This was early in 77. It was a time when the towers hadn't been fully built. Prabhupada's room wasn't ready. And Prabhupada had come for the Mayapur festival. And at that time, Prabhupada had come to stay, to spend a few days with us. And the devotees had made arrangements for Prabhupada to stay in a hotel. And Prabhupada said, no, I want to stay in my room. And it wasn't ready. You know, it was just a shell, really. So the devotees worked very hard to put down some carpets on the bare concrete and just try to make it somehow suitable. Prabhupada said, I want to stay in my room. And they said, Prabhupada, it's not ready yet. So Prabhupada said, if it's not ready now, it will never be ready. So Prabhupada, he was very sick. He went up and down from his room on a kind of palanquin chair. The lifts weren't working. And he came down one morning for the Guru Puja. It was a very special time. It was very difficult to see Prabhupada in such poor health. But after the Guru Puja, Prabhupada asked, "What is the gift of the spiritual master?" And Srila Prabhupada, I tried to answer. I was thinking, because he'd been, you know, after we sing the Guru Puja, we recite the meaning. And I was thinking, what is it that Srila Prabhupada is really getting at? And Prabhupada explained that the gift of the spiritual master is transcendental knowledge. He said, this is not material knowledge, not mundane knowledge. And he said, if you always remember that, you will always be able to feel obliged to your spiritual master. So this is the gift that Srila Prabhupada is giving us. This is the most extraordinary thing, transcendental knowledge about who we are, who is Krishna. He's giving this to the whole world. And we, inevitably, when we take this on board, then we can feel that this is the most priceless thing, that we've been giving back our lives. We've been given back the chance to go back home, back to Krishna, and to share this with others. And when we experience sharing Krishna consciousness with others, then we can begin to understand, yes, actually, this is very good fun. Actually, this is the most wonderful thing. And in this purport, Prabhupada explains the whole process of this Shravanam Kirtanam. He says that not only it is the only means by which we can perfectly assimilate the science of Krishna, but he expresses so many points just in these few lines. If you just look six lines up from the bottom of the purport, it's just boom, 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 powerful stuff. Prabhupada's explaining that these two processes of Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing and explaining, are of primary importance for progressive spiritual life. So sometimes it may seem, if we are not really deeply connecting with this understanding, that okay, we've come to Krishna consciousness, we've become successful, we've become devotees. No, spiritual life is progressive, deeply progressive. And so these two processes are essential to keep us going through on a daily basis. So these books, these gifts that Srila Prabhupada gave us, they enable us to daily hear from Srila Prabhupada. Because what are these books? They're nothing but the words of the Lord's pure devotee in printed form. And as we know, as we read these books, we can understand just in the beginning of the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada explains how we can associate with him. He explains that this Nectar of Devotion book, he says, one who reads this book associates with Srila Rupa Goswami. And one who carries out the instructions in this book serves his lotus feet. So Srila Prabhupada has made it incredibly easy for us to be connected to him. And this process means we need to hear very nicely. We have so much good opportunity on this yatra to hear from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and from other wonderful advanced Vaishnavas who have taken this mission of preaching very, very seriously. We know also that the secret of success in spiritual life is one thing, and that is to please the spiritual master. Prabhupada points it out. How do we serve the spiritual master? Our principle is very simple. We try to serve the mission of the spiritual master, what he wants to do. If a servant is going to serve his master, he has to best understand his mind. What is it he actually wants to do? From our generation, when we were children, we used to watch these Walt Disney movies. And there was one, The Sorcerer's Apprentice, where there was this very inept, bumbling servant of the sorcerer who was trying all sorts of things, but he didn't really understand his master's purpose, and therefore everything he did turned out to be a disaster, one disaster after another. So this is not our program, to misunderstand the spiritual master and to make a mess of it. But the more we can understand from Srila Prabhupada what his mission actually is, by carefully sharing with others what is in his books, the more we'll be able to appreciate, understand, and also become empowered to help others understand what is Krishna. So Prabhupada gave us many, many gifts, not least of the gifts that Srila Prabhupada has given us are the beautiful forms of the Lord. He has given us, all of you, all of us, this wonderful society. And this society is the most amazing opportunity to share. As Krishna is explaining in Bhagavad Gita, what do the devotees do? What is their real business? Their business is to always chant Krishna's glories. And derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and discussing about the glories of Krishna with each other. This is the topic. This is what Prabhupada has given us. We have a very short time left in this human form of life. And Prabhupada is bringing these really critical points to our attention, that we have a chance, a brief chance, after literally billions of species of life. Finally, we've got here. Now we have this nice chance. Prabhupada's gift is something so extraordinary. How could we miss this chance? So somehow or other, every one of us here has been fortunate. In the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, we can understand from these books Prabhupada is giving us to see how one who has got a spiritual master, he has already got the mercy of Krishna just by getting a spiritual master. So Srila Prabhupada's wonderful gift is to help us know Krishna. And if we can take this mission of Srila Prabhupada very deeply into our hearts and try to serve the mission, try to understand what it is that Prabhupada is trying to give to us by hearing from him, carefully sharing what we are reading daily, trying to share with others, help others understand, even if it's only one sentence of Srila Prabhupada's books, even if it's just one paragraph. It isn't a matter of speed reading and trying to go through all of Prabhupada's books like lightning. But it's a matter of trying to carefully understand what is it that Prabhupada's actually trying to say? What is he trying to say to me? So, in the UK, we've had, in Leicester, where I live, we've had some very inspiring experiences of sitting together in a group on a regular basis for a few years, just reading and sharing. And even if sometimes we take a few weeks just to digest one paragraph of what's in Prabhupada's books, that has been a very revealing experience, because in one line, Prabhupada is packing so much transcendental knowledge. And if we can just carefully take the time to unpack that, then it's worth all its weight in gold. We cannot sometimes appreciate how much treasure there is in Srila Prabhupada's wonderful books. But if we can try to carefully read them and try just our very best to share and offer our realizations to others and carefully hear the realizations of others so that we can really get to grips with what is there, that will pay us so much dividend, so much return, and that will be our great good fortune. So there's very little that I can say about the glories of Srila Prabhupada. I'm just touching on one tiny little aspect of Srila Prabhupada's glories. But as Vaisheshika Prabhu was saying, that these books are for us. This is what Srila Prabhupada worked so hard while he was traveling around the world these 11 times. And while he was doing that, he was writing all these books. And he brought these books with him to the West. He brought 3 volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam with him to the West. That is such extraordinary knowledge. Real knowledge, which will make, as everyone who came to Krishna consciousness by reading something from Srila Prabhupada's books will know, just even reading a little bit made so much difference to our lives. So the determined effort that it takes to carefully pursue this reading regularly, if just reading a little bit, and this happened with me, just reading a little few lines from Back to Godhead magazine totally transformed my life and transformed the lives of so many devotees. What transformation can a careful, patient, thorough study of Srila Prabhupada's books do to change our lives? Just imagine. So my humble request and prayer is that we can try to dedicate our time without reservation to serving Srila Prabhupada's great mission. Try to hear what he says. Try to share this with others. This is the simple process. Yare deka tare kaha Krishna upadesh. And it is the simple fact that I see that I'm the outsider here, I'm the Westerner. You're all so fortunate to be, most of you, of course there are a few exceptions, Westerners in our audience, but practically speaking, this mission is entrusted to you to take Krishna consciousness to the whole world. So please take this nice process more and more. Carefully understand, and please share this with others as much as possible. It is entrusted to you, as you all know, Bharata Bhumite Haila Manusya Janmajar Janma Sarta Kakari Karapara Upakar. Please take this and give it to anyone and everyone. I'll just share with you one last thing. His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj, he shared with me a prejudice that the devotees in the early days experienced that prevented them in reaching out to other people. That prejudice was that they would only preach to hippies. Because he explained that they thought, the early devotees, they thought in America that no one else would be able to understand. Not only that no one else would be able to understand, but they would probably just spoil it. So please do not think that only Indians can understand what is Krishna consciousness. If we take the trouble, if we take the bold step, as Srila Prabhupada did, to reach out and try and share Krishna consciousness with anyone and everyone, then we can also be very pleasantly surprised how Krishna consciousness can flourish in the hearts of everyone all over the world, as much as possible. Of course, not everyone will take, but those who are fortunate will take. And it is Prabhupada's mission. It is the mission of Krishna, of Lord Chaitanya, all of the acharyas, to try to make everyone fortunate. As we have been made fortunate, it is our inescapable duty to try to make others fortunate anywhere and everywhere. So please take this up more and more. Try to spread Krishna consciousness. Don't be shy. One of the qualities of Srila Prabhupada, as he glorified his own Guru Maharaj, had you not come, who would have told this message of Krishna, forceful and bold? Actually, this is the nature of the acharya. He's boldly taking Krishna consciousness. Boldly, why? Because he's got the backing of his Guru Maharaj and the whole disciplic succession every step of the way. So we have nothing to be afraid of. We should take Krishna consciousness very deeply, as I see, so as I personally take so much enthusiasm and inspiration from the fact that you are all so keenly and eagerly taking up Krishna consciousness so deeply and warmly. So it should come in through the ears and enter the heart and then come out through the mouth also. That is the process. Not going in one ear and coming out the other, but going in through the ears, into the heart, and coming out through the mouth. This is how actually we assimilate Krishna consciousness. This is how we spread Krishna consciousness. And this is how we can practically serve the mission of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So I thank you all very much for sitting patiently and beg you to please bless me that I can render some humble service to my Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Is Trivangananda Prabhu ki. Thank you, Prabhuji, for enlightening us about the gifts of Srila Prabhupada. And one of the most important ones being transcendental knowledge. Not just transcendental knowledge, theoretical, but Prabhupada called his purports his devotional ecstasies. When a person who is full of realization speaks, what is relishing in the heart, a few drops come out. And those drops is enough for an ant to drown. So similarly, these devotional ecstasies of Srila Prabhupada, if only we take out the time, as Prabhuji emphasized, to hear and to share. Because these are concentrated messages. We have this rasna concentrate, juice concentrate. You can't drink it, very difficult to digest. Add little water, you can relish. And adding water means discussing amongst devotees. The more we discuss, the more we'll be able to appreciate various angles of seeing the same purport and able to appreciate the depth and the width of these profound transcendental knowledge being shared in sutra form by Srila Prabhupada. And as he requested, let's be bold, shed our prejudices and go out and share with others for our own benefit, if not others. So now we will start with Srila Prabhupada's grand disciples. But before I do that, I would like to remind all of you about one very beautiful translation of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and its what shloka of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and its translation by Prabhupada. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Mitam cha saram cha vachohi vagmita. And Prabhupada translates this, true eloquence is essential truth spoken concisely. This applies only for all the grand disciples because there are so many of them here and we want to extract as much of their devotional ecstasies about Srila Prabhupada as possible. So keeping in mind the time at our disposal and the people sitting here, so many wonderful exalted Vaishnavas sitting here, very humble and gentle in the back somewhere. I will be requesting at least two of them so that they can come and stand here and straight away start sharing with us their heartfelt realizations. I would like to begin with the most eloquent speaker of our temple, His Grace Shyamananda Prabhu. And in the meantime, I will request His Grace Radhishyam Prabhu to be ready too.
Hare Krishna. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutale Shumate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Chinnamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Deshatarine. I don't think this question was raised during Prabhupada's times, but we see the answer in Prabhupada's books. At least two of Srila Prabhupada's dedicated disciples, His Holiness Hridayanand Maharaj, His Holiness Radha Govind Maharaj, in their lectures, someone asked them that if this material world is so miserable, people are so miserable, why are you introducing a God who is always smiling? How can God be so selfish? In fact, in the first two chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, we find Arjuna complaining to Krishna. He's described as Ashru Purna Akula Ikshanam. He's crying. Sidanti mama gatrani mukham chapari shushyati. Oh Krishna, my limbs are quivering, my skin is drying, I'm feeling utterly miserable. At that time on the chariot, Krishna is described as prahasan. He is smiling. So it is such a gross misconception that people in this world want the Lord to be also miserable like them in order to share their misery. At the same time, we want to be happy. How do we become happy? Prabhupada said in one conversation that Krishna doesn't need to experience this misery. He's always smiling, he's always happy. In fact, he's always beckoning all of the conditioned souls back to him. Once one disciple had asked Prabhupada, what is a devotee's misery? is it seeing other people miserable? And Prabhupada said, yes. That is the devotee's only misery. How can I make them happy? In fact, the Lord is so compassionate. The essence of His compassion is when He sends someone like His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to make everyone happy. Yesterday, Radhanath Maharaj was saying how Srila Prabhupada said, I was so happy in my rooms in Radha Damodar. It's not like I require all my different quarters, say in London, Bhaktivedanta Manor, or in Los Angeles, or in New York, or in Bombay, Juhu. So the real Siddhanta is that the Lord never sheds tears out of material misery, which he cannot experience even if he wants to. It is said that the sun can never experience what is darkness. Saraswati can never experience what is meant by idiocy or unintelligent, non-intelligentness. Similarly, Krishna can never experience what is material misery because he is ever happy. But he also has this big part of his heart where he wants to make people happy, and for that reason alone he sends his pure devotees. In a recently published book by His Holiness Mukund Maharaj, that particular event is described when Prabhupada was very sick. He had two heart attacks on the way to America, but he had another complication, and the devotees were told that he might not survive today's night. So they were praying all the time. Then the news came that Prabhupada actually made it through. He came to the West Coast. The devotees brought a small home for him, rented house. At that time, one devotee asked Mukund Maharaj, what if Swamiji leaves now? Could you just ask him, what are we supposed to do? Should we ask someone else from India to come and guide us? So he said, I don't know. So he was told, why don't you ask him? So Mukund Maharaj said, I just thought it's a simple common sense question. He went to Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, at the time he was only Swamiji, in case something like this again happens and you don't survive, should we call for someone else from India? He said, the moment I uttered this sentence, I knew I made a mistake. But how much? He said, that I didn't know. And he said, Prabhupada looked at me. There were two big tears in the corner of his eyes. In a choked voice, Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj was no ordinary spiritual master. He saved my life. And Mukund Maharaj said, for the first time it dawned upon me, what is the importance of a bona fide spiritual master? He said, I just looked down, just made some excuse. I also couldn't say anything. I left the room. The devotee who had sent me there asked me something I couldn't answer. And then he said he wept. So that is the importance of Krishna's compassion, that although Krishna cannot experience material misery, he experiences the misery felt by miserable conditioned souls and he sends his pure devotee. So today we are honoring Srila Prabhupada for saving our lives, and here at his chosen place where he wanted to do his last parikrama, I would like to thank Prabhupada for giving me this ISKCON family and hope that I also get eternal service in this family's shelter. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, editor of Indian BTG, for the eloquent and precise presentation. You touched our heart truly by the wonderful pastime. I was also reading this book, Miracle on 26th Second Avenue by Mukund Maharaj. Amazing book. It's a must read to understand Srila Prabhupada's mood in the beginning, how he was, how accessible, how compassionate, how extending, how ready to take any risk to go anywhere, but ready to share the same message boldly with everyone, irrespective of the environment around him. So thank you, Prabhu. And of course, since he spoke first, he offered the pranam mantra, but you can do it. The next speakers can offer it and then come and stand here and speak, so that we'll save those few minutes, seconds. After Radhesham Prabhu, I will request His Grace Sahadev Prabhu to kindly be ready.
Hare Krishna. The Prachetas, in one of their prayers to Lord Vishnu, they said, Rupam Bhagavatatu Yetad Ashesha Klesha Sankshayam Avishkritamna Klishtanam Kimanyatkanu Anukampitam. They said, my dear Lord, you appear in this world out of your causeless mercy, and you are like a parent who is the supreme well-wisher of the child. The child doesn't know what is good for me or what is bad for me. But the parents can never do any bad to the child, but they always make a plan to benefit the child. So the spiritual master who comes in this world is supposed to help the living entity understand how the scriptures are a love letter of Krishna to the living entities. There are many religious reformers, religion propagators, but very few have brought people to the point of understanding this, that by reading the scriptures you can understand God to be a ocean of love, and God's love through the scriptures. I was very happy to hear that point from Tribhangananda Prabhu when he said, the greatest gift that Guru gives to the disciple is the transcendental knowledge. And Srila Prabhupada did that. Maya Mugdasya Jivasya. It is said, Maya Mugdasya Jivar Nahi Swata Krishna Jnan Ateva Kripa Kaila Krishna Veda Puran. It is said, Krishna has given the scriptures out of his love for the living entities, and the Guru is one who is taking that gift because he understands it, he recognizes it, and he gives it to the living entities in a way that they can understand it and apply it in their lives. And Prabhupada did that very nicely. And what is the result? The result is pure devotional service. In Lilamrita, Prabhupada Lilamrita, I was reading, His Holiness Satsivadas Maharaj says five things that Prabhupada and his disciples in the reciprocation they showed. He says, firstly, he says, the disciples were hankering to hear from the lotus mouth of Srila Prabhupada. Always, wherever there was an opportunity, there was a morning walk, they would go with him, extending their ears like a chataka pakshi, chataka bird. They wanted to hear what he spoke about Krishna, how he is giving us understanding about Krishna. And secondly, he says, they were very eager to associate with him. They were looking for an opportunity to be around with him and do some service to him. And if somebody entered Prabhupada's room and came out, immediately people, devotees would throng him or her and ask, what did Prabhupada say? They were very eager to hear what Prabhupada said and what they learned from his association. Thirdly, he says, they took Prabhupada's words as absolute truth, without any doubt. They absolutely believed it. Prabhupada said Krishna is God and they accepted it. Unlike the Indians to whom Prabhupada was preaching in those days in Jhansi and other places, Prabhupada did not get such dedicated and committed people in India when he was preaching. When Prabhakar Mishra, who came to meet Prabhupada, Prabhupada told him, "What is this name, Prabhakar Mishra? I would like to give you the name Acharya Prabhakar." And Prabhupada told him, "You are a Brahmana, you are eating outside, I will cook for you. And you are going to the medical school, so you can't shave up your head. So keep a short hair and I will cook for you prasad and I will give you the name Acharya Prabhakar." And Prabhupada expected him to become a fully dedicated disciple who will help him expand his mission. And Prabhupada unfortunately couldn't get such people in India because Indians, they were wearing a religious garb of pious materialism. And they were not willing to cast away that covering and come and dedicate their lives to Srila Prabhupada. And here, in contrast, you find Satyabhas Maharaj writes about the disciples of Prabhupada in the West. He says that they believed the Prabhupada's words as absolute truth, whatever came out of his mouth. And they believed it utterly and they surrendered to it fully. Fourthly, he says, because of such intense love they felt for the spiritual master, they carried him in their heart wherever they went. Three families went to London, but they carried Prabhupada with them in their hearts. They always talked about Prabhupada and Prabhupada's teachings and about Krishna. And when they were preaching for bringing people to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. And in this way, wherever they went, like the moon follows us wherever we go, in the heart of the disciple who is fully dedicated to the spiritual master is always carried by such a disciple. And fifthly, he says, they always endeavored to please Prabhupada. They wanted to see a smile on his face. Let me do something that will bring happiness to him. And let me not burden his shoulders. Let me share some of his burden on my shoulders. So these five things he says, after saying these five things he says, this is pure devotional service, he says. Because we cannot relate with Krishna directly in this world. They loved Krishna because Prabhupada presented Krishna so powerfully. They developed love for Krishna by developing love for Prabhupada. This is the mechanism explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sayeva sadhusya krito moksha dwaram apavrita. By developing attachment to a pure devotee, we eventually develop attachment to Krishna also. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada offered them instruction and guidance, and the disciples offered their full faith in him and their dedication and commitment. The combination of these two produced a very great expansion of Krishna consciousness all over the world. Just like it is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when two arani sticks are brought and rubbed, it produces fire. Similarly, when a guru, when a potent spiritual master and a fertile disciple, they combine, and the result is powerful enlightenment for the disciple, which actually expands his Krishna consciousness movement. So, Srila Prabhupada, in a very short time, he transformed the hearts of many, many disciples who we see in our times how much they loved Prabhupada, and their love is practically shown by their utter dedication without caring for their material worries or anxieties. And they have given their body, mind, words, their very existence for Srila Prabhupada. So, Srila Prabhupada's dream became true when he went to the West. This is the kind of disciples that Prabhupada anticipated. Although a handful of them have apparently fallen away, their love for Prabhupada has not faded away. There are many of them, even although sensually they might be carried away, but they had their faith in Prabhupada has been kept intact. And on the other hand, major part of the Prabhupada disciples who are dedicating their lives and propagating in such a big way will surely bring great joy to the heart of Srila Prabhupada. And their commitment and dedication to Prabhupada can be seen by their lives. And also, in one of his books, Isvana Satyabhas Maharaj writes about he is making a one-to-one comparison between Prabhupada passing away and Bhishma Pitamaha passing away. He is comparing both the things. Like Bhishma was lying in the arrow bed when all the Pandavas came to meet him, and all the demigods and all the sages came to meet him all around the world. Similarly, when Prabhupada was lying in his bed, all over the world, all his disciples came to do kirtan and be with Prabhupada. And Bhishma Pitamaha's devotion and dedication and love for Krishna did not reduce even a bit, even in his last days, by being carried away by some other anxiety. Although he was a royal chief in Kuru dynasty, he could with a single pointed attention, he could focus on Krishna. Similarly, somebody asked Prabhupada, "What is your desire now? Your last desire?" Prabhupada said, "Kuch ichcha nahi. All my desires are fulfilled, and my disciples are going to carry on forward this moment very nicely, and I have no more worry now," Prabhupada said. So he fixed his attention on Krishna and he left his body. And in the last few moments, if you see, they were dripping milk into his mouth, drop by drop. But at the same time, Prabhupada was speaking purports to Bhaktivedanta purports to Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada showed how to live in Krishna consciousness, how to live in Krishna consciousness, leave the body. He showed such an ideal example. And he left blissfully in full absorption in Krishna consciousness, leaving behind the disciples who were crying and weeping on that day, like a calf which has lost the mother. Because Prabhupada gave such a shelter which the disciples accepted very gratefully. So Prabhupada said when he went to West, "I want to present this back to Godhead magazine to thoughtful people who will receive it gratefully." So thoughtful people are those who understand the spiritual knowledge which is coming in this parampara handed over by Srila Prabhupada, and they received it gratefully. And today we see our movement expanded so vastly. And when I see the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, their love for Prabhupada and dedication, I desire to have 1/1,000,000th of a drop of what they have for their spiritual master, for my spiritual master on this day. And let me also become dedicated in at least an iota of the dedication that they are showing. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Radhesham Prabhu, for giving us the 5-point formula for pure devotional service in relationship with one's spiritual master, and also on speaking about the glories of Srila Prabhupada, a classical example of how to live and how to live. In fact, that's what is called a book Bhagavatam and a person Bhagavatam. So we find passing away of Bhishma, passing away of Haridas Thakur, and then we hear this is person Bhagavatam depicting purport. It's a walking purport to the book Bhagavatam. We are so fortunate. We have at such close quarters such an exalted Vaishnava. Bhaktirasamrita Swami Maharaj was once mentioning, for Prabhupada disciples, it was like standing on the Himalayas. If you're standing on the Himalayan mountain, you don't know its glory because a tree is too close. The farther we go away, the true glory becomes more and more clearer, more manifest. Similarly, we are more fortunate in that sense that we are able to appreciate the full manifestation. What a miracle he did in such a short time. Impossible, other than the fact that Krishna Shakti Bina Nahi Tar Pravartan. Anyway, I don't want to make my offering. Thank you. Sahadev Prabhu, and after that I would request Her Grace Vishakha Mataji to kindly be ready. Her Grace Vishakha Priya Mataji.
Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada never compromised on the true, pure philosophy of Krishna consciousness just to please few individuals or a group of persons. In this connection, I would like to narrate one incident. Actually, this incident was narrated by His Holiness Giriraj Swami, and I'm just repeating his words. In the early days of ISKCON in India, once he was in Madras, now Chennai, and the way the ISKCON devotees were preaching there, pure Krishna consciousness, philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the people there were disturbed and they actually protested the way the ISKCON people were preaching. As we know that in the south there is a traditional rivalry between Vaishnavs and Shivaites, because the impersonalists and Mayavadis believe and say that God has no form and ultimately everything is one. So when devotees like Giriraj Maharaj was preaching that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and so forth, neither the Shivaites nor the Mayavadis liked it. Actually, nobody liked it. And therefore, the friends and sympathizers of ISKCON, they advised them that why they should not be like Gaudiya Vaishnavs. Actually, they are not criticizing anybody. And therefore, whenever there is festival there, thousands of people gather in their festivals. So Giriraj Maharaj thought over it. Actually, he wrote to Srila Prabhupada to give advice in the matter. And in the meantime, he thought that let me only preach positive side of Krishna consciousness and not criticize others or may say some negative thing for others. He was there to make people life members, so he was contacting big industrialists, businessmen, and whoever he actually contacted, most of them became life members. So one day he was an appointment with a very respectable businessman. So he went there, he opened his box and showed the pictures, how they are preaching Krishna consciousness in the Western world, and so many things about Krishna conscious preaching. But that industrialist was not convinced. Actually, he said that you have said so many things about Krishna, but what about such a great saint like Sripad Shankaracharya? And Giriraj Maharaj said, yes, he is a very great philosopher and saint. Then he said, you have not said anything about Lord Shiva. And in this way, he was actually pressurizing him to say something. And ultimately, Giriraj Maharaj says that I have to open up, I have to say the truth. And therefore, I started telling that actually Lord Buddha came to discredit the Vedas and establish non-violence, but by the arrangement of Krishna, Lord Shiva incarnated as Sripad Shankaracharya and he came to establish the Vedas and preached veiled atheism and so on and so forth, and then he quoted from Chaitanya Charitamrita so many paras to convince him. But it seems that he was not getting convinced, so Giriraj Maharaj thought that let me pack up my bag and go, there is no use staying here. And then that businessman escorted him to the door, but at that place he insisted that he should first visit. First with his temple room. He was not actually, Rama not interested, seeing his behavior, but he insisted and therefore he has to visit. So when he went into the room, he was stunned, because he saw that it was a big room where 15 to 20 persons can sit, and there was on the raised platform the deities of life-size deities of Radha and Krishna. He was stunned actually to see, because in the south, Krishna is worshipped, even Vaishnava worship Krishna as Lord Vishnu. And here, not only Krishna, but Radha was also with her, with him. So he was stunned. And then that businessman told him that actually from generations we are worshipping the deities, and I was just testing you. And then he took him to the room and then filled the form and became life member. So when Giriraj Maharaj came to the hotel, Prabhupada's letter was waiting for him. And actually the most important part is the instructions which Prabhupada gave in that letter. And these instructions are not only for Giriraj Maharaj, but these instructions are for all the devotees who are connected to ISKCON for all times to come. I would just like to read those instructions. The fact is that I am the only one in India who is openly criticizing not only demigod worship and impersonalism, but anything that falls short of complete surrender to Krishna. My Guru Maharaj never compromised in his preaching, nor I will, nor should any of my disciples. We are firmly convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that all others are his part and parcel servants. This we must declare boldly to the whole world, that they should not foolishly dream of world peace unless they are prepared to surrender to Krishna as Supreme Lord. So these are the very unambiguous and strong and clear terms. Prabhupada has given us directions about the how we have to take the philosophy and preach the philosophy in its true and pure form. On a lighter side, I would like to narrate one small incident. One gentleman came to Prabhupada, and during conversation, he asked Prabhupada, "There are so many temples around, why you want to build your own temples?" So Prabhupada is very expert, actually. We have seen so many times dealing with generalists and all that. So he did not answer the question directly. He asked that, "Who is this lady who has come with you?" He said that, "She is my wife." So Prabhupada said, "Why did you marry her? So he could not answer it. He was speechless. And then Prabhupada said that, "You wanted to have your own children." So that person said, yes, Swamiji, this is correct, we wanted. And then Prabhupada said to him that, "There are so many children around, why you want to have your own children?" So in this way, he conveyed to him that why Prabhupada wanted to make his own temples, because he wanted to preach the pure Krishna conscious philosophy without any contamination, without any adulteration, without compromising on the philosophy. So this is Prabhupada. So we are eternally indebted and grateful to Srila Prabhupada for giving us ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, where there is facility for actually performing Krishna conscious activities, pure devotional service. And not only ISKCON, but also the pure Krishna conscious philosophy and the pure process of devotional service. So this is Prabhupada's gift, and we are so eternally indebted to him. And we thank you, Prabhupada, for all you have done for us. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Sahadeva Prabhu, for teaching us how to preach. Bhagavatam also such a wonderful example of Vidura speaking to Dhritarashtra and having the required effect. So Prabhupada had the tremendous compassion that whatever he spoke, he could connect with the Paramatma in the heart and actually have the required effect. We can only pray we also develop such compassion. And then, as he said, "Speak as I speak, do as I do." So Thank you very much for enlightening us on the art of preaching. Also, now we'll have Vishakha Priya Mataji. Yeah. Microphone. Can you put the microphone, please? And in the meantime, I will request His Grace Sridhama Prabhu to kindly be nearby.
Actually, on this day, more than any other day, all of our hearts fill with gratitude for all of Srila Prabhupada's disciples who have been churning the nectar over the years by writing so many books about Srila Prabhupada and sharing their experiences with Prabhupada. Because if it were not for their compassionate nature to share their things with other all of us, we would never be able to understand, we can never understand it. But the more and more the depth of the compassion Srila Prabhupada had to save all of us and the world in general.
Mataji, can you kindly stand up, otherwise like a voice in the sky?
So we feel very grateful to Srila Prabhupada's disciples more than on any other day for having churned out this nectar and revealing more and more the essence of Srila Prabhupada's compassion to save all of us. When we try to read Prabhupada's books, we always feel that we read books written by Prabhupada and books written about Prabhupada, and reading both of them simultaneously actually very much helps us to feel more grateful. Because Prabhupada has written about the philosophy and his mood and everything in the book, but when we hear about how the disciples explain about Srila Prabhupada's compassion and the love with which he made all the devotees be able to follow this process of Krishna consciousness, our heart simply remains bewildered. And that's why most of the devotees, the recent book of Miracles of written by Mukunda Goswami, everybody has been reading that, and it is so true that there's no other word except for miracles which can be used. And in fact, it was not only a miracle on 26 Second Avenue, the book was like a miracle on the universe, not only on planet Earth but on the universe, because so many impossible things were happening. The number of devotees that were being made, the number of centers that were opening, actually during Prabhupada's presence, so the number of things happened after he left, the proportionately it was never as much as when Srila Prabhupada was there. And all these miracles, many times miracles take place, but they are like once the miracle is done. Some sadhus, they produce some ash, it's produced once, it's over, some gold. But this miracle is such an ongoing miracle that for years to come, for generations to come, people are going to be affected by this miracle which he has done. And we are seeing that miracle, I mean, just to take an example of a yatra like ours, 5,000 people coming, and it is happening so smoothly as if about 50 people are moving around. Nobody's feeling any inconvenience, all best type of arrangements. Today we are sitting in Vrindavan and Govardhan, all by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Because were it not for him, we would have never known. We were just few days back discussing that we had come to Vrindavan before joining Krishna consciousness. And what did we do in Vrindavan was really shameful to be able to tell. We did what we did when we went to visit any other places besides the holy place. We would go to other places, watch movies, eat in hotels. And that's exactly what we did when we came to Vrindavan, because we thought it is just another place. But by the mercy of Prabhupada, how he has revealed, it was exactly like the instructions that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to the Goswamis. Said, you write books, you excavate holy places, and you reveal the places of pastimes of the Lord. So similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is called seventh Goswami because he did the same thing in the mood of the Goswamis, following the same instructions of Lord Chaitanya. And similarly, Prabhupada has done this. And we feel so much grateful that the same people, the same places, the same type of environment, which we would have never been able to see the other side of, it has been like a walk-in into the spiritual world. Like we are walk-in cupboards and walk-in fridge. You just go and you can touch the things by walking into it. So when we come to these holy places, we meet devotees and we interact with the devotees on such gatherings. We simply cannot feel grateful to Srila Prabhupada for what he has given us. And we can never even begin to understand what he has given. So the only word, his presence is so much there in all these things that wherever we look, we can just feel that, thank you, Srila Prabhupada. This is the only words we can use for him. These beautiful deities, this beautiful family of ISKCON which we have got, the beautiful books which are there. His presence is so overpowering in all of them. You go to the rooms at Radha Damodar temple, it is, everybody can feel the presence of Prabhupada so much there. By reading Prabhupada's books, so much of his presence is felt prominently over there that many times any of us are thinking of some things or going through some difficulties and you open up any book of Prabhupada's and you can feel as if Prabhupada is directly, how did he understand the mind at that particular point, that particular verse comes and it pacifies our hearts so much. If you attend any lecture of any of his disciples, it is so soothing to feel so secure and protected that we are connected, and through himself, through his disciples, and in so many ways, we feel so very much protected being over here. So thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for whatever gratefulness we should, please, we want that our heart should become more and more grateful. We can never begin to even understand what you have done for us. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you, Mataji. She was talking about the miracle and I was reminded of His Holiness Devamrita Swami's talk where he spoke about the transformation that Srila Prabhupada's message has brought and which has resulted in clarity. He was talking that he went to Jagannath Puri and there he saw, he was relishing the Jagannath Rath Yatra, but he was sick and therefore he went to the hotel room and just wanted to not miss out on the Jagannath Rath Yatra. He switched on the television to see the commentary and the whole parade. And after hearing the commentator speak on the TV, who said that this is actually meant for everyone, Jagannath is for the Vaishnavas, and Baladevi is for the Shaivites, and then Subhadra Maiya for the Shaktas, and this and that, and went on, and Devamrita Swami said, I was wondering whether I was witness to the same parade what I was outside. And he was talking about the clarity that has been provided by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, who has connected us to the vision of Krishna through the parampara. Thank you. Now that we have Sridharma Prabhu, I will request His Grace Mahaprabhu Prabhu to kindly be nearby.
Hare Krishna. Just yesterday in the class, we heard a very, and the point really, really struck me. It had never struck me for last 2 decades that I have been hearing the story of Giriraj Govardhan, wherein Maharaj was explaining about how important water is for us and how the human body and this whole creation, water is a very, very important ingredient. And then he went on to say that Krishna decided and told the Brijbasis to perform the Govardhan Puja instead of Indra Puja. So it is important that we hear this story also not considering Krishna as the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but as the Brijbasi saw him as a tiny child. So just imagine that here is a situation where for last so many hundreds and hundreds of years, all the Brijbasis are performing Indra Puja, which is so very important. Water is so very important for all of us, much more for the people who are tending the cows and growing crops, the Brijbasis. And from nowhere, a small child says that we should stop doing Indra Puja and perform Govardhan Puja, which is from a demigod to a mountain. So the point which struck me is that Krishna is a very revolutionary person and he likes to do things in a revolutionary way to break the the normal way things are done and to do things in a revolutionary way to give much, much more impact and nectar. And of course, we know it was so revolutionary that it led to the most famous Leela of Giriraj Govardhan. So similarly, I was just trying to compare that Srila Prabhupada, like Krishna, was a very, very revolutionary preacher. And it started from his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Sevi Thakur, who was very revolutionary. There are many things that they did, which was not usually done, and it was seen as a surprise. How can you do this? But they did it. Like we know the story of Bhaktisiddhanta Sevi Thakur, rolling beads for the workers, so that they continue the construction for the temple. That's revolutionary. Where have you heard Acharya, you know, getting his people roll beads for the workers to get the... But he knew the importance that ultimately the focus is preaching. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada was such a revolutionary person. Krishna was the original revolutionary person. He revolutionized the whole way the Brijbasis were thinking. So Srila Prabhupada, in the same mood, went to America, which was a revolution in itself. The way he did things, the way he gave facilities to the people, the way the ladies were given prominence, was a very revolutionary thing. And many times we know that he was criticized for this. But we know that ultimately the result is abundant preaching of Krishna consciousness. And this is the greatness of our ISKCON society that Srila Prabhupada has given, that these revolutionary ideas are still continuing. His followers are also very revolutionary in the way they do things. And maybe, you know, sometimes we don't understand how they do what they do. But this is the mood that Srila Prabhupada has given as inheritance to all of us. To find innovative ways of preaching that Prabhupada himself did, the way his own spiritual master Bhaktisiddhanta Sevi Thakur did, and his own disciples, Prabhupada's disciples, are doing in their own wonderful ways, to find innovative ways of preaching, which might be very bewildering. Brijbasis were very bewildered. And when actually they were attacked by Indra, they were thinking, why did we listen to this child? See what has happened to us now. We are in a mess. But it all led to the union of the Brijbasis coming together for 7 days, and there was a wonderful Leela happening. So similarly, this is one of the aspects which was really hitting me, that how Srila Prabhupada is so revolutionary, and we must appreciate this aspect of Prabhupada's revolutionary mood coming in as inheritance in many of his disciples and grand disciples in the way they do things, because ultimately it is important to really preach Krishna consciousness in whatever way we can attract the hearts of people. And another very, very wonderful quality that we can learn, we can draw parallels from the Govardhan Leela, is that Krishna is very happy with simple offering filled with devotion. We know after the Leela was over, Indra performed the great puja, but then the Gopas came and they performed the puja, and Krishna was enjoying it, even though they were not doing it in a very systematic way, they were doing it in a very haphazard way, but there was tremendous devotion. So Krishna is happy with simple offering with devotion, but he's not happy with elaborate offerings without devotion. But the best thing to do is to give elaborate offering with devotion. And that is what Srila Prabhupada did. Srila Prabhupada, everything that he did was elaborate, very articulate, very grand, shoot for the rhinoceros type of mood that Prabhupada had, to do the best for Krishna, but filled with devotion. That is what Prabhupada taught us, that everything that you do, you should do with utmost devotion. So this is another parallel that we can see in Srila Prabhupada, that he offered to Krishna in simple devotion, but elaborate, wonderful things, magnificent, huge temples, elaborate deity worship, very, very sumptuous Krishna prasad. I mean, you know, you don't get this type of prasad anywhere in the world. So Prabhupada was a person who did elaborate things filled with devotion. And the last small story, which was really very... It shows Srila Prabhupada's way that he saw things, also narrated by Devamrit Swami Maharaj. Prabhupada was on a Rath Yatra parade in New York, and there was a young sannyasi sitting, just a newly taken sannyas devotee. He was sitting with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was seeing the whole grandeur of New York. And Prabhupada suddenly from the blue asked, that, what do you think about the women of New York? So, you know, I mean, try to imagine if a guru is asking you, and you are just taking sannyas, so the way Devamrita Maharaj explained that he hold his danda tight, this person, and he didn't reply. So he was trying to say, well, Prabhupada forgets to ask me again, whatever. So after some time, Prabhupada again asks, so what do you think about the women of New York? So he was really perplexed. What do I answer? If he says they are good looking, Prabhupada says, oh, what are you saying about good looking? And if he says no, then he didn't really know what to answer. So then Prabhupada asked for a third time, what do you think about the women of New York? Aren't they beautiful? So he said, yes, yes, they are beautiful. And then said, they are beautiful. Why are they beautiful? Because you can see all the huge buildings around. This is a result of their beauty, because the men are working so hard, slogging to attract this beautiful woman. And that's why you see all this economic development all around. So how Prabhupada was seeing things deep through and through. So a lesson to all of us, when we see all these big buildings around, Prabhupada taught us that we have to see how the material civilization is working. And Prabhupada really got through it, and he taught a very wonderful lesson that wherever you see economic prosperity and everything, the root purpose in this material world, which is a place where, as he said, a gentleman cannot live. It is not a place for us to live, gentlemen. He said, this is the place where only the purpose is to attract the opposite sex. So this was a wonderful thing, how Prabhupada taught, and we can learn this, we can inherit this line of thinking, so that we can really get the real purpose, the real understanding of what we see in the material world. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for this wonderful offering, wonderful gift that you have given us. And I would like to thank specifically for giving me personally this gift of this very, very large family, and the gift of your dear disciple, my spiritual master. And my only hope is that I can dedicate my life wholesale. The word he uses usually is wholesale surrender. So I hope and pray that I can have that wholesale surrender at his lotus feet, and in that way at your lotus feet, and perfect my life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you, Sridhama Prabhu. Talking about revolution in prasad, it was a fact. The first time I came to the temple, the devotee was preaching me told me, just wait, I'll get you some prasad. And I was very happy, expecting some groundnut seeds and some sugar crystals. And I held out my hand, and he kept a 12-course feast. And sure enough, I realized that Hare Krishna is revolutionary. So as we have Mahaprabhuji making his offerings, I will request Krishnanam Prabhu to kindly be ready.
Shala Prabhupada ki. Once I was reading that in Srila Prabhupada, in Srila Prabhupada books, that Srila Prabhupada said in question and answer, these scholars, they cannot understand anything about Krishna. So these scholars got shocked. Actually, what this Srila Prabhupada is talking? Actually, because this spiritual subject, nobody can understand whatever education they have got. And even today's total education system is completely slaughterhouse. It's useless. Until unless it is connected with Krishna, it is sram eva kelam. It's a wastage of time. Because other things are already predestined. So why to waste time? Or reject religion completely, say I'm Gnostic. We can't play double game. I worship God. Srila Prabhupada has clearly said it. Everything is this all useless, whatever these big scholars are talking. So if we really want to understand what Prabhupada wants us to do, we have to follow his instructions. Last night, Prabhuji was talking so wonderful. If we want to follow his instruction, First of all, there should be purity in our heart. Just like water, clear, pure, transparent. Until unless we are pure. Chetan Mahaprabhu clearly said, until unless Bharat Bhumila Bhuvela Mara Janmas Sarthakar Parapuka, Kar Parapuka. First of all, you clean your own heart. Srila Prabhupada was pure, and that's why he worked for it for 33 years practically, though his father, you know, from the Rath Yatra, from his childhood, so many things he has done, though he wanted to get married second time even. He seen another girl also. And when his father came and said, why you want to get another girl married? Means want to get married. Well, I don't want to interfere with you, but if you want to, it's your choice. But remember, the purpose of life is to self-realization. And somehow that Prabhupada, because he was not satisfied with his wife, I was thinking, just see, if he was not satisfied with his wife, what a blessing he has got. He could make world famous movement. He has not got the second. So if wife is cooperating, it's wonderful. If his wife is not cooperating, that is also wonderful. Just see, that's the thing we have learned from this incidence of Srila Prabhupada. But Srila Prabhupada has started a mission. It's not just like any other temple. We have joined, we must have seen some Christian missionaries, how they work in the mission. They put some white dress or this white everything. We have somehow or other, if we have started chanting this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we have joined a mission. And we have, if really want to offer something to Srila Prabhupada, we should give. You know, many institution, many religion, whether it's Muslim, Sikh religion, or other religion, Christian, I have seen they give 10% of their income to their institution. I'm not asking, don't touch money. Money is honey. People don't want to give money. If you can give 1 month in a year, because you have joined a mission. It's not some Hindu worship, going to temple. You join him. If we can give 1 month in a year, say December month, I'm not saying distribution of books. 1 month a year after, I'm not saying take leave from your office. 1 month a year, this is completely dedicated for Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, if I can get 17 people, in 18 people in India, fully dedicated for this movement, I can take over the world. If we can give 1 month time, many institutions are there, the people go 1 month out and they don't eat somebody's house. They take their own thing, everything, and they do their missionary work. If we can do something like this, jahe dekho tahe kaho, don't care whether a person will take Krishna consciousness or not take Krishna consciousness. You do your duty. Krishna is not concerned. Karmanya Badhikar Aste, people have not understood that slok at all because second part they don't want to read. You do your duty, just like Jatayu has done duty. He knew it very well that he will be killed by Ravan. But what happened? He lost the battle, but he won the war. So Krishna is not concerned. Our Prabhupada wants us to, we should give our time for the purpose of spreading this message. And I tell you something unique has happened in the world. This Naam Srila Prabhupada has given us. This name is like a current. You connect this current with anybody, he will get charged. This Mahamantra is so powerful. Somehow or other, don't care what the person will talk. You just, why Krishna says in the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, anybody who is talking my glories to the other person, that person is very dear to me. Or for your own benefit, you try to talk about Krishna to other people. And this will change their life. And there is nothing better than anything. You become Nimitra Matra. When Krishna told Arjuna, you just kill them. he was very much afraid. But finally, in Virat Roop, he has shown they are already killed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has already made a prophecy that Nagarapratigram, everywhere this will spread over throughout the world. And it's already happening. If we become Nimitta Mahatra of it, we will be glorified. So we have to give some very, for that purpose, only one thing is needed, not money. We need a desire. If we have desire, Krishna will help us. We have got desire for material things. So people go out of India, go so many places, and they are miserable there also. But if we have desire, I'm not saying going out of India is a wrong thing. I have also gone there. I also got green card. I was also in the same race. But I'm somehow or other, by mercy of Vaishnavas, I'm coming out. That fever, the 105 degree fever, is getting reduced. So I'm trying that one day 98.6, you know, when I become normal, you know, your normal human being, then we can become Krishna conscious. For that purpose, this fever which is going on in this material world for economic development, that is a hellish thing which is going on in the society. Because for that purpose, if we give this name to the people and join this missionary movement, this is our actually Sradhanjali to Srila Prabhupada. He has done so much. I have counted 28 things he has done, unique things he has done. Just like Prabhu was mentioning, they are just like Rath Yatra or book or Sunday feast. 28 things he has done, which is unique in the history. If we take something, one item, whatever Srila Prabhupada has given us, and if we take at least something to offer to Srila Prabhupada, we give some time to Srila Prabhupada, at least 1 month in a year, and that will be the greatest thing we can go for Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
We never cease to be amazed at the transcendental fire Mahaprabhuji has when he is preaching. Srila Prabhupada was once asked in the very early years that there are few programs. What kind of programs should we arrange for you? Srila Prabhupada said, I am like a cow. Wherever you take me, I am going to give milk alone. So wherever you take Mahaprabhu, he is going to glorify the holy name and Mahaprabhu's mission. And this is not just the potency that he gets even without the microphone. Is not just words. It has been substantiated by literally thousands or practically lakhs, I can easily say, of beads that he has distributed throughout and inspired people to take shelter of the holy name. And therefore, his words carry that potency, and one can actually see the desperation in Prabhuji's voice. So we should also strive that we all can be, even if we are 70, we can be like the 17-year-old that he is when he is preaching. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you very much. As Krishnanam Prabhu is making his offering, I would request Radhika Mataji from Pune to kindly be ready.
As I was listening to the offering of Nartaki Mataji today, what really struck me was 34 years after Srila Prabhupada has departed from this planet, his glorious disciples who are carrying on this movement are still feeling such an intense amount of separation from his disappearance. One of the main reasons that a person like Srila Prabhupada has really touched the hearts of so many people is because Srila Prabhupada led the whole movement by inspiring his disciples. He did not rule the movement. He did not control his disciples. But just by his own actions, he inspired them in order to render devotional service to Krishna. As we can see from the early days of the movement, the Sunday feast programs that Srila Prabhupada would hold, it was just he, one person, who would do everything. Right from buying the boga, to cutting the vegetables, to preparing the feast, to giving the lecture, leading the kirtan, and then washing up after that. And he was doing this till the time came that a few people who were coming for the Sunday feast program offered to assist Srila Prabhupada in washing the pots. So this is how people got connected to this Krishna consciousness movement. And because it is a process of inspiration, people are, even today, feeling a sense of deep separation from their spiritual master. We were, of course, not fortunate to be to have seen Srila Prabhupada, but through his disciples we are able to appreciate Srila Prabhupada for what he has done. And somehow if we are able to get that particular drop that all his disciples have received from him in any insignificant way, then we will be able to somehow or the other carry on this glorious movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you, Krishnanam Prabhu. As Radhika Mataji is making her presentation, I would request His Grace Madan Gopal Prabhu to kindly be nearby.
Hare Krishna. Actually, when they called out my name, I was totally taken by surprise because I was not scheduled to speak. But I thought that on such a wonderful occasion, if we're given a chance to glorify our grand spiritual master, we should do so. Because I remember reading many years ago, there was an occasion where in America, when our movement was just starting, Prabhupada had to travel for at least 10 hours and just to give a radio program of 2 minutes. And the disciples were wondering that Prabhupada is so, you know, he's not feeling well, will he actually do this? And Srila Prabhupada said, don't worry, in 2 minutes I can give the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So my heart was really palpitating and I was had just a few seconds and I said, if our grand spiritual master at that age could do something, surely I can take 10 steps and in a few seconds say something to glorify him. So I just want to thank Srila Prabhupada and why all of us are here today because of Srila Prabhupada and the sacrifices which he made for us. And once Srila Prabhupada's disciples told him that we are here today, Prabhupada, is it that we have done some good karma in some last life? And Srila Prabhupada became very serious and grave and he said, no, you have done nothing. I have made your karma. So we all of us, by some causeless mercy, we haven't done anything. And you know, when we come to these yatras, we realize what our insignificant position. So thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada, for everything. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Once in a way, it's actually good to speak on the spot because you are forced to speak from your heart. As Madan Gopal Prabhu is presenting, I would request His Grace Madhavanand Prabhu to kindly be nearby.
Hare Krishna. So I am also in a condition similar to the previous speaker. I was peacefully listening to the glories of Prabhupada and my peace was suddenly disturbed like a monkey jumping on the tree and disturbing the whole leaves. So anyway, within 2 minutes, or not even 2 minutes, it was my unfortunate Matai finished very quickly. So within 30 seconds, whatever time I had to think, what can I speak about Prabhupada over here? Certainly, some of the Prabhupada gave me some inspirations and few points have come. So I'll share that. As we are at the place of Govardhan Hill, and I was thinking, certainly hearing about the glories of Prabhupada and thinking about the upcoming Govardhan Parikrama and how it should be performed and what mood it should be done. Just before coming here, I remembered Prabhupada's desire to perform the Govardhan Parikrama just before he left his body, as many of you might be knowing it. So it was somewhere in 77, Prabhupada was sick and he was in Vrindavan. And there was Prabhupada expressed a desire that he wanted to go for a parikrama of Govardhan Hill. But his body was very frail and sick and did not have much strength. So there were discussions amongst the disciples, leading disciples of Prabhupada, that what should be done and how it should be done. And suddenly there were two groups of devotees, some saying Prabhupada is spiritual master's desire and we should take him. But one point was very clear, that Prabhupada can't just walk around, so he has to be taken in bullock cart. At that time, I don't think there were some cars or rickshaws. Maybe bullock cart was the option that was chosen up. And maybe, if I faintly remember, Loknath Maharaj was told that he's traveling around India in bullock cart. He can arrange for some bullock carts and Prabhupada would like to go. But again, there was a discussion between the devotees that even will Prabhupada be able to take up the strain of going in bullock cart, because the roads are quite bumpy. They are not tar road like we have today. So big discussions was happening, and certainly Prabhupada in the ultimately, and he said, whatever you decide, I'll accept. But the end result of all, both the groups, one group of devotees saying that no, it's spiritual master's orders and we have to follow it. And another was saying, yes, it's order, but we have to care for his health also. So ultimately in the end it was decided he won't go. But what was common point which both of them got, apparently one group's decision was accepted and one group's was not accepted. But Prabhupada was very expert. As a spiritual master, it was his duty that he was very expert to take devotees closer to Krishna. And even in these discussions, in the end, both the devotees, some devotees are feeling that we should take him, some were feeling we should not take him. But both the devotees felt that after so much thinking of what should be done, should Prabhupada go or not go, all the devotees felt that their love for Prabhupada in their heart increased. So Prabhupada was very expert in increasing our love for spiritual master and Krishna. Similarly, we see this famous story of Prabhupada dealing with Saraswati, daughter of Shyam Sundar Prabhu and Malati Mataji. We heard that she was a very small baby, just few years old, and she had a deity of Krishna. And Prabhupada hid that deity. And Saraswati was immediately frantic. Where is Krishna gone? Where is Krishna gone? And she went to her mother, to other devotees. It's like a hall of a flat or house. And Prabhupada and few devotees were sitting around. And she was just running around here and there. That where is Krishna gone? And ultimately, Prabhupada also asking, where is Krishna gone? And ultimately, somebody asked, Saraswati, who has Krishna? Then she also could recollect or remember. And immediately she said, Prabhupada has Krishna. And then Prabhupada also became happy and he took out the deity from behind, a small, and gave it to Saraswati. She became happy and went ahead. So we hear that Prabhupada, he may be very old, just before he left his body, and dealing with his disciples who are quite old and grown up now. Or he may be dealing with a small girl like Saraswati, who is only 2-3 years old at that time. He was very expert that how, as a spiritual master, he was very expert that how he was saying that how a disciple gets attracted to Krishna and spiritual master. At the same time, one time it was asked to Prabhupada directly, Prabhupada, if we remember you at a time of death, it's told that we have to remember Krishna at a time of death. But if you remember spiritual master, that means in his case it was Srila Prabhupada. If you remember spiritual master at a time of death, will we go back to the spiritual world? And Prabhupada answered in affirmative. Yes, he said, because he's also part of Krishna's entourage. It's same like remembering Krishna, his dham, or his representative devotees. So in this way, sometimes Prabhupada would draw our attention towards Krishna or draw our attention towards himself. Or Prabhupada had to do some extraordinary, not extraordinary, but not a normal behavior which generally a spiritual master does. Or like he had to write his own pram mantras. Because most of his followers did not know Sanskrit, and then he had to write. Or he had to suggest that they should not call spiritual master just Swamiji. So apparently it may appear that he was in some way making his position little big or something like that. But when we see all the pastimes and all the activities together, at least myself, I feel, and it is accepted by all the devotees, that in all the activities, Prabhupada's mood was to how to draw this devotee's attention much closer towards Krishna and spiritual master, by which he can slowly and steadily progress towards Srila Prabhupada and Lord Krishna in spiritual world. So that's what I could think in 30 seconds. But in this auspicious day of Srila Prabhupada's festival, which we are celebrating over here, 5,000 to 6,000, I would humbly pray to all of you to pray for myself and each others, that as Mahaprabhu Prabhu in his speech urged all of us that we should somehow or other try to serve Prabhupada's mission for some days, at least full time or what it may be. Basically, we should dedicate. So I pray to Srila Prabhupada and all his disciples over here and all of you who are all senior God brothers, that please let myself be engaged in his service. Let my mind and consciousness be completely attracted to Prabhupada and holy name, and let all of us together, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we all together in Kali Yuga, we all together have to go back or advance on the path of devotional service. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His Grace Madan Gopal Prabhu ki. Thank you, Prabhu, for your unprepared presentation. 6 months after coming to Krishna consciousness, every devotee may feel shy to speak amongst devotees, but they absolutely are not shy when they have to speak. But most of them, out of their humility, become like Hanumanji. And it requires someone like Jambavan, in this case me, to remind them of their potencies. We had a devotee in the book party in our temple. They used to go and he would only cook prasad, thinking, I'm too humble, I can't speak. And one day everyone went for distribution, and after he cooked, hundreds of villagers gathered around that stall on the bus. And they started, some people bought the books and said, Maharaj, kai sangana? Speak something. And then he stood on the bus, because very many were there. And he started speaking, first very softly, like a mouse, then mewing like a cat, and then like a great cat roaring. And when all the book distributors came back, they stood behind. They couldn't imagine this person speaking. They took prasad and still he was speaking, 2.5 hours. Then actually he realized that, oh, I didn't know. I spoke for 2.5 hours. So as Tribhanganand Prabhu was telling, Shravanam and Kirtanam, it's nice sometimes to speak out. So as Madhavanand Prabhu is making his presentation, I will request His Grace Adi Keshav Prabhu to kindly come over nearby.
Hare Krishna. Standing here, I am feeling very unqualified. At the same time, very, very fortunate to be with so many of Prabhupada's followers. And listening to Tribhanganand Prabhu in the morning about the gifts which Prabhupada has given us, I was thinking, what are the gifts which he has given? Hundreds, thousands. Unlimited gifts he has given us. But still, for myself, I thought three gifts were most important, essential. One is the faith, which is the foundational principle of our Krishna consciousness. The devotional service and the association of devotees. And everything else to support all these three, whether it is books, temples, everything was just to support these three things. And also he gave the mood in which to do devotional service. We heard from somebody that how Srila Prabhupada, in the beginning days, no one knew for several months that who is cooking, who is cleaning, who is doing all these things. And it's all free. Anyone can come, take prasad, go away. So there, you can see that Prabhupada's mood of devotional service, that he was not waiting for some disciples to take on the service. He did it himself with complete humility for the order of his spiritual master. So all these three gifts are very important, but I feel that this faith which he has given, and because of that we are all sitting here, is the most important gift. I remember as a child, I was a child who was believing in God. I had enough, you can say, childlike faith without much reasoning, but there was faith. It was very natural. But as I was getting more and more educated, systematically the system completely destroyed the faith. There was no trace of faith in God. In fact, today that is a system which is causing havoc in the lives of so many people. People who are from Hindu traditions, they are joking about Ram and Krishna in their college circles. They joke about gods. Why? Because their whole faith is being destroyed. A similar was my situation. But then, somehow by the arrangement of Krishna, with the insistence of devotees, first time I came to Juhu, ISKCON, and I asked few questions to the devotees, and within a short time I realized that these people have answers for everything. That faith I got. And my faith started increasing, I started practicing. And then one day, one devotee gave me a book. Said, read this book. And in that, on the cover of that book, there was a picture of Mahavishnu and universes coming out. And I said, it's okay to have faith, but what is this? You know, somebody is lying down sleeping and universes are coming out. Too much to handle. So went back, asked the devotees, what is this? So they said, do you have any other explanation? There was no other explanation. So he said, accept it. This is Shabda Praman. So I understood, yes, these people have quite affirmative, very powerful answers for everything. So like that, slowly my faith grew. And then I came to Vrindavan with His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, 25-30 devotees. He took us to all the places. We went to the Janmasthan. And again, faith grew. Yes, things are existing. Krishna existed. Krishna is born here. Potada Kund. Then Kans Teel. Maharaj said, here Kamsa was killed by Krishna. So you could see, yes, Krishna existed. And then we came here in Vrindavan. And next day we went to Barsana, Nandagam, Govardhan. And then again it crept in. And I asked Maharaj, Maharaj, what is this? And you said Kusum Sarovar Radharani used to come every day and pick flowers. Now where is Barsana? Where is Kusum Sarovar? You know, 46 kilometers. Huh? Small child. And where is Govardhan? He would come, Krishna would come every day with the calves and cows. And Maharaj gave me an amazing answer. He said, you know, it's like a lotus. You know, whenever it wants, it opens up. Whenever it closes. Again, What is this answer? But there is no other explanation. So I accepted. And slowly now, I have understood that this faith which Prabhupada brought, actually Maharaj says it, that this faith is actually the seed form of Krishna Prem. So Prabhupada had that Krishna Prem and he transplanted that faith in all his followers. And they are giving it to others. We are all receiving it. And this faith is the actually greatest gift of Prabhupada to the world. Because we can imagine at Prabhupada's time, there was hardly anyone who believed even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's vani that okay, one day every town and village the name of Lord Hari, Lord Gauranga will be sung. People thought it is allegorical, maybe it is Prithvi means India or maybe only Bengal and Orissa. But Prabhupada had complete faith. And with that faith he went. And what kind of faith he had that he actually convinced people of things which are not easily acceptable. For example, the whole world was talking of going to moon, everything. It was a big thing. People are watching on the television that somebody, they are landing on the moon. And Prabhupada was also watching. And sitting there still Prabhupada is saying, this is not moon. Huh? Imagine. And somebody, even some one disciple, he left Prabhupada because he said, this old man, he doesn't understand what he's talking. They are on the moon and he's saying, this is not moon. And Prabhupada kept on saying that actually the moon is farther than the sun. And we have not heard this. We have heard something different. And what kind of logic he gave? You see, it is very simple. First comes Sunday, then comes Monday. Now, no one will get convinced by this kind of logic. What it has to do with the distances? But Prabhupada had such strong faith that he thought, can't you understand such a simple thing? Sunday first, Monday later. It is so simple. So because of this kind of faith which Prabhupada had, that actually the devotees, they transformed their lives. They gave their lives to this kind of conviction. Prabhupada was in Hawaii. And the beach, they were cutting all the palm trees, coconut trees. And Prabhupada asked, inquired, why they are cutting these coconut trees? Somebody died because a coconut fell on the head of a person who was sitting beneath. Prabhupada said, this is total nonsense. How can a coconut, for coconut according to scriptures has eyes. It cannot fall on a person. So you can see that this is faith. Now I have also heard so many times that actually people died. But the faith which Prabhupada, with which he would say things, they just had, Prabhupada said, that's why we accepted it. And today, all of us, we don't care whether it is true or false, whether Jambudip existed or not, whether the earth is half in water, or whether what is happening, we just love Krishna consciousness. Based on only Prabhupada's the strong faith. Prabhupada has asked us to the whole ISKCON world to have a temple of Vedic planetarium. Now it is going to shatter all the concepts which people have right now. But still, it is based on Prabhupada's conviction. So this is the greatest gift which I have received from Srila Prabhupada, which all of us have received from Srila Prabhupada. And we cannot really thank him enough. He is our grandfather. He is very happy to give these gifts to all of us. But we can thank him by purifying our own lives, following in his footsteps, and also giving it to others. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madhavanand Prabhu. As we'll start the offering of flowers at 12 and Pushpanjali, and after that we will have the Guru Puja, followed by Prasadam at 12:30. So we have a few minutes left. I would like to request Adikesho Prabhu, and in the meantime, I will request Acharya Ratna Prabhu to kindly come closer. Hare Krishna. Not to give a surprise again to a person who is not ready, I would request Kalindi Mataji to kindly be ready after Acharya Ratna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So coming here itself is mercy of Prabhupada. What you would have known about Govardhan. We have come here, but I think we should not forget from where you have come from. That reminds me about, like I come from South Canara. It's a coastal area. So I remember this mountain range I used to see since childhood. But then it has to be a Western disciple of Prabhupada who had to come and tell me that this is Sahyadri range. What to speak about Madhvacharya? I never knew anything about Madhvacharya. So this is a special mercy, even though taking birth in India. But then it has to be people who come from Western world, they had to teach. It is, one sense, very easy to speak on Prabhupada's glories because there is so much to speak on. You can go on and on. But at the same time, it is very difficult because these activities appear to us very amazing, or we may call it as a miracle. But Prabhupada had that vision which we could not see. As he heard yesterday, all his activities were driven by love and compassion. So this is to penetrate people's heart, and he could see everyone, even a person on the street or a person, a multimillionaire in a limousine. He could see both of them, how they are suffering, how they are deprived. For last several days, we have been hearing about, especially in Vrindavan, we have been hearing about Krishna's childhood pastimes. Very sweet, wonderful, lovable, covered boy. But we can't relate it to our personal life. This is something happened 5,000 years ago. Very nice to hear, very purifying. But actually, Prabhupada enacted similar type of pastimes. It is very fortunate that when we come during Kartik month, we bump across many Prabhupada disciples. So I came across one of them. Now this was because in the evening time they have Prabhupada memories. Now it's very interesting that this person is from France, so he's a Frenchman. So when he speaks English, he has an accent that makes it more sweet. And then he was speaking how he was tricked and forced to become a devotee. Then he was talking about all the glories of Prabhupada's activities, and someone asked this question, but can you tell us what was your personal interaction? Have you ever met Prabhupada? He took time to speak. There was a pause. Then he said, yes. Once when I had to take Brahman Diksha, so I went in front of Prabhupada and Prabhupada said, I can't give you Brahman Diksha, you are not intelligent. This was how Prabhupada used to speak. How can I give you? So in other words, it was a chastisement. Of course, eventually he got it. That was one interaction. Another interaction was when he was chanting not so loudly in the temple. Prabhupada came up, opened the window and said, you are disturbing the deities. Soft chantly. Chant silently. So these were only two interactions he had, at both were chastisement. And this person, for last 40 years, he is in Hyderabad, dedicated his life. And when he talks about this chastisement, his voice chokes and has tears in his eyes. And this is chastisement. Obviously, this is not possible unless there is love. So it's very interesting that Prabhupada would always become, also become angry, very angry. And the personal servant will be the one who will be the victim many times. So this time it was His Holiness Navayogendra Swami. So he said, Prabhupada, when you become angry, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. And we don't know what to feel. So Prabhupada said, you should become jubilant and joyful. You see in the street there are so many people wandering. Is there anyone to correct them? I am correcting you. All the obstacles is there on this path. I am removing everything. This was Prabhupada's chastisement and reciprocation. Very sweet. So very fortunate to know that how this happened in the recent past. Very amazing. There are several things like this. Of course, it is not that disciples were far back. They were also completely surrendered. We now see Jew temple so grand and we don't know what sacrifice has gone behind. So this is one incident in Akash Ganga. The disciples came and said, Prabhupada, it's a marshy land. There are rats, there are mosquitoes, there are snakes, hostile neighbors. And Prabhupada said, we should go and stay there. But how can you stay there? There is no even tap water. There is no running water. What will we do there? Just one question, Prabhupada. Do you want to get purified? After that, no questions asked. This was the reciprocation for Prabhupada's love. They're willing to do anything. Of course, even Prabhupada would also defend. Even though his disciples would do mistakes, but he'll always defend them in public. He would chastise them, but in public he'll always defend them. So it so happened one of, as usual, you know, Indians used to criticize these Western disciples, you know, what culture they have. Swamiji, I see your disciples, 95% of them are sleeping during your class. So Prabhupada said, at least 5% of time they are hearing and see what has happened to their life. And you have been hearing 100%. What has happened to your life? You are still the same person. So this is how, of course, Prabhupada used to love his disciples like anything. It so happened in New Vrindavan, when the palace of gold was being built. It was just beginning. There were just concrete, steels and cement lying. There was no proper structure and Prabhupada was on a walk. So one of the disciples asked Prabhupada, how will this palace of gold look like? Will he be decorated with jewels and pearls and silver and gold like the way they have in heavenly planets? Prabhupada became very grave and he said, my disciples are my jewels. So this was the love Prabhupada had and this is how he is to reciprocate. That is why we see many Prabhupada disciples, they don't care for, you know, spiritual world, Krishna's pastimes. Okay, no, we are Prabhupada conscious. We want to go back to Prabhupada. I'm just thinking, this Bhavananda Prabhu will say, I'm just waiting that how, when will I go back to Prabhupada? So one disciple asked, Prabhupada, when we come back there, how will we find you? You don't have to worry, I'll find you. These are the very sweet interactions of loving exchanges which can happen only such a, you know, pure nature. For us, we can relate it, how guru and disciples, they relate in that total surrender. So on this day, of course, what we can ask, it's a very difficult subject. Spiritual subject is not a very easy subject. It's a very complicated, difficult subject. Otherwise, none of us had any access to it. Even if you had access, we wouldn't have understood it. We would have given up. Prabhupada made it so simple that, as Madhavananda Prabhu was saying, immediately, you know, some faith, even it is beyond our understanding, we accept it. The process is very simple, not necessarily. Once one person asks, is Holiness Jayadeep Maharaj? Maharaj, in the history, we have seen that all religious organizations, in the course of time, their standards goes down. Will the same thing happen to ISKCON? So Jayadeep Maharaj said, maybe or may not be, but you and I should not be responsible. So what it means is, of course, we each and every one of us have this responsibility. It's a very scary responsibility. It's not a very... It may be very easy to speak, but illusory forces of Kali Yuga are very strong. Unless we are in the association of devotees, very difficult. Just one more thing I reminded of. This happened in Vrindavan when Prabhupada was on his last days. So some industrialists came to meet him. These people were materialistic industrialists. They came from Chennai. This was some Bajaj and his brother-in-law. Bhakti Charu Maharaj was there. So they came and they said that we want to talk in private. So Prabhupada sent all his disciples, but just before going, Bhakti Charu Maharaj put on the tape recorder. So then the conversation, we don't know what happened, but Bhakti Charu Maharaj is saying, they're asking this question to Prabhupada. Swamiji, what will happen to all this property when you leave? Of course, they were calculating from, you know, who will be the successor and all. Prabhupada was very grave and he said, those who will follow my instructions, they will inherit the property. Now, obviously, Prabhupada didn't mean property in the sense, you know, how much worth it is in crores and all. Prabhupada meant is love of God. Those who follow, they will get it. But after that, they noticed that the tape recorder is on. So they promised you the tape recorder is on, you should put it off. So Bhakti Charu Maharaj could hear only up to that. What happened really, what questions further they had, who is going to succeed and all. So this is Prabhupada who has left behind for all of us. A very simple process, but not possible in the without the association of devotees. So on this day, I beg, pray that this is an experience that when we are not in the association of devotees, it is very difficult. This is my experience. I can be easily washed away by the forces of anywhere. If you are alone, it's very difficult. The only protection is association of devotees. So I pray that I always remain in the association of devotees on this day to Prabhupada and carry on, and also beg that please give me the strength to follow your instructions. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai. Thank you, Vadikeya Vishwa Prabhu, for sharing your realization of your heart. As Acharya Ratna Prabhu will make his presentation, I request Kalandi Mataji to kindly come over.
I am feeling extremely grateful and happy to be here sitting at lotus feet of Giriraj Haridas Bharya, the great servant of Lord, getting opportunity to glorify another Haridas Bharya, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's appearance in this world is like sun, dispelling the darkness, giving light and vision to the world. When there is darkness, there are three things. First is, as soon as you are in a dark place, one's heart is filled with fear. Second thing is that you can't see things as they are. And third thing is that you don't know the real way. You don't know whether to go straight, take left or right. Similarly, in this age of Kali, everybody is very fearful because of darkness, because of ignorance. In spite of big educations, in spite of so much of wealth, opulence, all these things, people are very fearful. The fact that security systems are enhancing proves that fear is enhancing. And we see people are in illusion. They think if they do this thing, they will be happy, and they do that thing, and they become even more miserable. And they are confused always. We see right from childhood to old age, till they die, they are always in confusion. Shall I do this or shall I do that? Now, as material people are progressing more, people are getting more confused. Even now, the children are also in confusion because they don't know which toy to play with. And college students are confusion which stream to take, and after passing out, which company to choose, and so on. So there is so much of confusion. But Prabhupada's appearance is like a sun dispelling all this confusion and giving us a clear-cut vision. Anybody who comes in touch with Prabhupada, his mission, his books, his devotees, his any of his project, immediately comes to know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is like sun. As soon as Krishna comes, all darkness is dispelled. And immediately we come to know that goal of life is to surrender to him and dedicate our life in his service. So Prabhupada was a very humble, selfless and a bold preacher. As soon as we hear from Prabhupada, one can immediately closely feel connection with Krishna. Another thing, very wonderful thing about Prabhupada is we can see how much he was accountable to his spiritual master. He never forgot his spiritual master and his instruction. And he was very accountable even small things, like or big things. He kept every details in his diaries. We see he kept record of even every paisa he spent. And his vision was completely spiritual. Everything Prabhupada did was divine. I was very inspired recently when I heard from Giriraj Maharaj, one of the past times he shared, which Prabhupada had with His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. Once Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I am managing a small Bhakti Vedanta Institute, one small aspect of ISKCON, and I am facing so much difficulty. And you are managing international society, worldwide movement. How are you managing it? How are you dealing with these problems involved with that, all those things?" So Prabhupada immediately said, "I do not see problems. I only see service to my spiritual master." So Prabhupada always saw all the problems as opportunity to serve his spiritual master. And on this day of disappearance, I also would like to take opportunity to meditate on his instructions and his service by reading a letter by Srila Prabhupada written to Garga Muni, dated 25th September 1970. Srila Prabhupada wrote, "My dear Garga Muni Maharaj, please accept my blessings. I am in due receipt of your letter dated September 12, 1970 and noted the contents very carefully. I think you will remember that I called you not Garga Muni, but Garga Mani. So whenever I required some money, I approached you and you were kind to pay me immediately. So please continue your capacity in this way to supply money to this society. That will please Krishna. I am immediately in need of $2,50,000 somehow or other. Collect this money and both of you come here. We shall open a very gorgeous branch in Calcutta. Calcutta is my birthplace. So all of you as my disciples, do something unique in Calcutta. That will be fitting service to your spiritual master." So Srila Prabhupada, I am extremely fortunate and happy to find shelter at your lotus feet in Calcutta. I feel extremely privileged that you have dragged me closer to your lotus feet by bringing me at your birth city, Calcutta. I see how you are divinely at orchestrating things there. On this auspicious day of your disappearance, I beg at your lotus feet that may I become humble instrument of your love and compassion. May I serve all devotees lovingly and free from envy and malice. May I show love to you by cooperating with devotees and spreading your mission in a harmonious way. You have blessed us with the divine gift of holy name. May I take shelter of the holy name. may I become obedient to you and your representatives. So, kindly bless us that we can do something unique in your glorification in your birth city, Kolkata. Yogyata vichare kichu nahi paya, tomara karuna sara. We have no qualifications to serve you. Your mercy alone is our hope. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Acharya Ratna Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada said, you make advancement to the extent you take responsibilities in the mission. And we can see Acharya Ratna Prabhu has developed deep realization after taking responsibility of a project that was very dear to Srila Prabhupada's heart. And he has sound proof, Prabhupada's desire. So there was money in Gargamani, and this is Acharya Ratna, jewel-like devotee there, and surely because of his transparency, so much wonderful mercy, light in the form of light is manifesting. We can see that. Thank you very much. Now we'll have Kalingi Mataji before we Hare have Krishna. The Pushpanjali.
Hare Krishna. Today we are celebrating disappearance celebration of Srila Prabhupada, but actually two meanings are there. In fact, he is there, he is not there. He is more alive, in fact, now amongst all of us through his books. Our generation of devotees, disciples have not seen him active, physically active in preaching the mission. But just through so many via media, we realize his presence in our life moment by moment. And more important is through his books, because that is one of the greatest contribution he made, is that he wrote these books. And I feel that more important than writing those books was that he created this International Society of Krishna Consciousness. Because suppose he would have just written the books and left it, then what is written in the book would not have been understood by anybody in this world. But just by creating this society, he proved and he showed that whatever is written in the book is reality. Devotional service to the lotus feet of the Lord is reality. Spiritual world is reality. And he said that this ISKCON is, many people say also, that this is a house he built in which everybody can stay. And what is a house? House is a place where so many members live together and they make their own contributions in order to smooth sailing of the house. And similarly, we see in this International Society of Krishna Consciousness also the variety of people from different background, different nature, different character, they join the movement, they dedicate their hearts to the mission. And whatever may be the material platform or whatever, depending on their previous karma, suppose they are rich or they are poor, both have very significant contribution to make in the society. Whether he is very intellectual or very illiterate, like if they are intellectual, very scholarly, they can contribute to the forwarding of the mission in different way. Illiterate person, so just by making that good exemplary devotee is a big preaching to the mass. So like that, even if you have so many other qualification, professional qualification, or you have different propensities, you are like you have a musician or you are a singer or a writer or poet or painter, everything can be dovetailed in service to Krishna. This only Srila Prabhupada taught. We just visited Vrindavan Dham few days back. There we see so many big billboards, you know, this Maharaj speaking and this Maharaj speaking on Bhagavad Katha. And what happens after they speak Bhagavad Katha? Everybody just disperses and everything is forgotten. But whatever Srila Prabhupada taught, we are able to put and practice in our life through his books. And through his tireless efforts of the of his sincere disciples. And in this house, I am very thankful that Krishna and Srila Prabhupada has given me also a very insignificant role, some place to live in. And my only desire, my only prayer, just two words, thank you, will be very verbal formality. But I just want to pray that I can show my gratitude from my heart just by dedicating my each and every hour of my life, each and every moment of life, second of my life, in dedicating myself to preaching movement of Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. We will begin the Pushpanjali, but before that, I would like to express my heartfelt gratitude on behalf of devotees here. For those devotees who could not attend because of cooking there, we have a stage full of offerings. Actually, we're falling short, and it's like it had to be placed one above the other. So some who have made verbal offerings, some who have made hearing offerings, and some who have actually cooked some wonderful offerings. I'm sure Prabhupada will be accepting all of these. But there is just one little problem. And the problem is, since there are so many offerings, the devotee was requesting, let's give 10 minutes at least to Prabhupada to accept all those offerings. So hearing Acharya Ratna Prabhu gave me an idea. Prabhupada said, there is no problem, there is only an opportunity. So I'll take this opportunity to share my appreciation for Srila Prabhupada. As long as I'm the MC here, I may not be called next time. There is just, I was hearing a devotee speaking about the contribution of the great sages, powerful sages of India. And in that series, he was talking about Agastya Rishi. And hearing this, my appreciation for Prabhupada increased. I would like to share with that briefly. He said, Agastya Rishi is known for four things, four prominent things, contribution. The first thing is, the Vindhya mountain was growing and competing with Himalayan mountain. And it was growing and growing. And it actually endangered the northern and the southern part to get separated. Because we see Chinese culture is totally different from Indian culture because of the mountain of Himalaya. What would have happened if the Vindhya had grown? We would have lost touch with that culture. When Agastya Rishi realized, he with his power, he pushed Vindhya down and brought about the unity of the north and south part of Bharatvarsha. Secondly, during Parshuram time, he had destroyed, Parshuram has completely destroyed the so-called Kshatriyas. After that, Agastya traveled all over the world and created Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. All over the world. We understand, Brahmana means Brahma Janatiti Brahmana, Vaishnavas. Thirdly, there were powerful demons who were a threat to Vedic culture. Especially in the south was Ilvala and his brother Vatapi, who had a strategic plan how to destroy Vedic culture and how to completely, literally gulp the Brahmanas. They would eat them and digest them, that's all. And fourthly, and at that time, Agastya Muni came to Ilvala and Vatapi was turned into a ram and fed to Agastya Muni. He ate it and then Ilvala would say, Vatapi, come out, and he would tear the belly and come out. But this time when Ilvala shouted, Agastya had already digested Vatapi. He says, Vatapi jirno bhava. He's already digested now. He can't come out. Fourthly, Agastya Muni had a powerful mantra by which he would put liquor in a skin bag and chant that mantra, and within few days it would transform into actually heavenly nectar. When I was reading about these powerful sages and their contribution to protect Vedic culture, my appreciation for Srila Prabhupada really increased. Srila Prabhupada, not just the Vindhya mountain, but all the mountains in the whole world, he actually pushed them down and united all the culture of the world, all the people of the world in his International Society for Krishna Consciousness, by pushing down the big ego, I am American, I am Indian, I am this, I am that. All these egoistic mountain he crushed to powder and united the whole, all the living entities on this planet in this wonderful international society. Secondly, Agastya Muni traveled all over the planet and created Brahmanas where there were none. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one of his disciples, had gone there and asked Zetlen, Lord Zetlen, he said, I want to be a Brahmana. This is the thing you have to do. It's impossible. As Prabhupada said, impossible is only found in Fool's Dictionary. Srila Prabhupada traveled all over the planet. Not just Brahmanas, he created pure-hearted Vaishnavas all over the world. Thirdly, he devoured Vatapi and defeated Ilvala. Similarly, the greatest materialistic in form of scientists and so-called sadhus who are actually making, as Madhavanand Prabhu expressed, making us lose faith in Vedic culture, Srila Prabhupada, through his powerful, sometimes simple, but sometimes so analytical logic, shastric, he completely, not just, he literally devoured them. They completely lost their voice. And in this way, he established clearly the Vedic culture. Jai Shishi Radha Shyam Sundar Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki. And finally, the whole Western, nowadays of course, Eastern also in cities is the same. We are following in the footsteps of the Western. It was like a skin with liquor inside. The content of the heart was like liquor. Polluted, contaminated, intoxicated. And Srila Prabhupada, by his Hare Krishna Mahamantra, he transformed these skin bags within a short time into a heart full of nectar. So I was thinking, all the great sages, what they did, we have right here, very close to us, such a powerful personality, such a powerful sage, following in the footsteps of the great acharyas of the past, has created such an amazing revolution and transformation. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. We will now make Pushpanjali offerings. I would request everyone to stand up. The flowers will be brought to you. Kindly do not crowd too close to the stage. And after the offering, we will have the Guru Puja being offered.